We're in the book of Galatians, which, if you're not part of our church family, the book of Galatians is a letter written by a guy called Paul, who was a murderer, then became a messenger for Jesus, after Jesus had met him and said, stop murdering, become a messenger, basically. And he wrote to a church or churches that were trying to follow Jesus faithfully, but some people had got in and said, hey, you've got to do things a certain way. So they had tried to follow Jesus and kind of, yeah, I'm following Jesus, I'm leaning into Jesus and trusting him. But then others had come along and said, oh no, you've got to have the circumcision, basically. You've got to do things as well. Trust God, but do things as well. And Paul was basically saying, you cannot do both. If you try to do both, you're going to flop and it's going to mess you up a treat. And you've got to choose. And today we're going to have a choice set before us to choose to trust in God or to trust in yourself. And to keep on trying and trying and trying to do things to make yourself right and to improve yourself and grow as a follower of Jesus. Stop trying and start trusting, because you can't have a foot in both camps. To help us just understand some of the themes that are going on, let's just get thinking. What films are represented on the screen, and what theme links them all? Okay, going to the top left. Madagascar. Then? Which Matrix? Matrix Resurrections. Next one. It's one of the biggest earning films a couple of years ago. Sound of Freedom. Then? Braveheart. Then? Shawshank Redemption. Then? Born Free. I had to put one in for those that were around in the 60s. So we've got this theme, freedom, and in each of these films, we've got different things taking place for freedom. We've got animals in captivity, then learning to live free, in a free kind of way. Then we've got, wow, Matrix. We've got people who are in captivity, and then they realize that they're in captivity, and they fight for their freedom and to release the whole world. But there needs to be one person, a savior, who comes to rescue them. Sound of Freedom, an agent, he goes and rescues people who've been trafficked and brings them into freedom. Braveheart, national freedom from the oppressive English. Sorry, that's just a Welshman coming out at me. National freedom, someone fighting for freedom for their nation, but also the freedom of finding love and identity and purpose. And the Shawshank Redemption, prisoner eventually breaking out and feeling freedom and the feeling of rain on his skin. A number of prisoners in Shawshank Redemption are released, and there's one who cannot live outside of captivity, outside of prison, and he takes his life. The main character escapes and lives a free life outside of the restrictions and routine of prison. And then there's Born Free, a lion raised in captivity after being found in the wild, then is reintroduced into the wild and learning to live in freedom. You might think, what on earth has this got to do with ladders? We'll come back to the ladders in a moment. We're going to read from God's Word. And Kevin, one of our wonderful mission partners who's ministering in Senegal, Kevin, do come on up and read God's words to us. Thank you. Give him a welcome.
Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands before Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brother and sister, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman."
Thank you. There'll be opportunity next Sunday to hear a bit more from Kevin and Debbie. Do speak to them afterwards and catch up with them over the next few weeks and hear about what God is doing. Now, there are some passages in the Bible that you think, I wish someone else was preaching that one. This is weird. There are two women, two mountains, two covenants, two sons, and in the next 15 minutes before 12 o'clock, we've got to try and get some lessons from it and then leave because we finish at 12. So, I'm going to save some words by putting up a picture. And that picture is in the sermon notes on the YouVersion Bible app. So if you go to the events on the YouVersion Bible app, Gold Hill, you'll see this. This helps explain some of the things going on. It's going to be up just for 3 more seconds, and then I'm going to take it down. Okay, so if you want to look in a little bit more, there's a picture there, and it's on those YouVersion Bible app. Gospel-rooted living, when we try to live according to God's way and His good news, it will always lead to liberty. If we try to trust in God and not in ourselves, it will lead us to living a free life. Not just a fuzzy, airy feeling of, oh, it's fresh air at last, but a deep, deep feeling and sense that I am free. And nothing can put me into captivity. Nothing can make me feel oppressed. Even if I'm in the most oppressive regime for followers of Jesus, like North Korea, if they're trusting in God, they are free. What we're going to do over the next few weeks, because the book of Galatians goes into this freedom theme for a number of chapters, we're going to unpack what freedom looks like. But for today's passage, just want to help us understand the Abraham and Sarah bit. God gave a promise in Genesis chapter 12 to Abraham and Sarah, who were really old at that point, and Sarah was barren, she couldn't have any children. God promised that they would have children and so many descendants that it would fill the whole world and that all nations would be blessed through them. When there is a promise, well, a promise isn't a promise if it happens instantly. A promise infers that there's a future fulfillment going to take place. So when there is a promise, there needs to be patience. But they ran out of patience and they tried to do things their own way, and Sarah gave to Abraham her slave, Hagar, and Hagar got pregnant through Abraham, and Ishmael was born. Ishmael and Hagar and the descendants there led to division and continued oppression and conflict between the people of God and the people born through slavery. I'm not going to go too much detail into that, but if you want to look more, look in Genesis 15, 16, and chapter 21 of Genesis, the book of beginnings. Now you might think, why are we going into the book of beginnings when in the reading it says, in verse 21, tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? Now the word law there doesn't just mean God's rules, it means the whole first five books of the Old Testament, the way that God started things and wanted his people to live. He starts things off in a way and shows the heart of relationship and how to relate to God and to relate to one another. So Paul draws upon that law, not just the Ten Commandments and stuff, for an explanation, a figurative way of understanding how to be free. Some of you might not be with me yet. Let's make it a little bit simpler. In the first few verses of this passage, we need to learn this lesson, that true freedom only comes through God doing something, not us. Abraham and Sarah had a promise from God, but instead of waiting for that promise to be fulfilled, they did things themselves. They took things into their own hands. And if we're trying to be people who follow God, we cannot just depend on ourselves. This passage says that as Hagar, the slave woman, gave birth, she gave birth to a slave. And what we see is a pattern developing that human initiative will lead to human results. What does a captive rhino give birth to? Sorry, Linda? A captive rhino. What does a free lion give birth to? Now, some of you are thinking, well, Stephen, lionesses give birth, not lions. What does a free lioness give birth to? A free lioness. Or lion. Sorry, it's been a long morning. If we try to do things in our own strength, our own efforts, our own ingenuity, our own resourcefulness, we will get human results. If, though, we choose to trust in God, it will lead to God-based results. And to take the phrase from last week's all-age talk, we've got to make our mind up. Divine initiative always leads to life-giving and freeing results. We've got to stop trying and start trusting. Beforehand, people were gathering to pray, and one of them shared a sense of this, and I'll just read it in its entirety. If it's, it might be something that you relate to. They had a picture of someone with a large umbrella coming into church. It had been put up in the rain, which was a good thing, but they refused to put it down, and it was a real barrier to them. When they left, the sun was shining, but they still wouldn't put it down. I felt God was saying that they had put the umbrella up in the first place to protect themselves, but because they wouldn't put it down, it stopped them embracing the people around them and also stopped the sun shining on them. Sometimes we've got to let go of the ladder that we're trying to climb in our own strength in order to step into trusting God. Because what will happen if I carry on going up? What will happen eventually? I'll fall. We cannot trust ourselves and God. We've got to make up our mind to trust in God. Second lesson. God keeps his promises even if they're a long time coming. Now, Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years before Isaac was born. In verse 23, it says, the son was born of the slave woman, born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. It's because of a divine promise. Now, if I promise you something, that doesn't mean that it's going to be fulfilled. But with God, when he promises something, he will, or has, or is fulfilling it. A Ukrainian writer wrote this: politicians are all the same. They promise reforms, then reform their promises. I feel sorry for anyone who gets into government now, because they've got such a hard job. Really, really hard job. And the public and other politicians will blame them whatever happens. But quite often, politicians will make a promise and then change it. With God, he never, ever changes his promises. He fulfills them. And the Bible is full of thousands upon thousands of promises. God promising to individuals or groups there and then. And also God promising to people of all time, his people at all, promising general things for the whole of creation. And with each of them, he either has fulfilled it, is fulfilling it, or will fulfill it. What promise of God do you need to hold on to today and to trust in? Maybe the promise of strength or rest, or God taking care of you or watching over you or answering your prayers or being with you or bringing freedom from sin, or God promising to return and make everything right and new. A promise isn't a promise if it has an instant outcome. Promises and patience and trust go hand in hand. Third lesson to help us with this passage. Paul goes from Abraham and Sarah and Hagar in Genesis chapter 15, 16, 18, and 21, and then jumps to Exodus with the mountains, the Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. Then he jumps again to verse 27, and he quotes the prophet Isaiah. And he says, a quote from Isaiah, where God is speaking to his people. The nation at that time were in exile. They had wandered away from God. And they were like a woman who couldn't conceive. No life came forth from her. But God was basically calling his people, even though it didn't look like anything good could happen. He says, be glad, be joyful. Why? Because the God of the Bible is the God who is powerful enough to bring something out of nothing. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He is powerful enough to speak into your situation and bring change to it. Are you going to keep trusting in yourself, or ask the God who is able to bring change and say, God, help me. I'm trusting in you to be able enough to bring something out of nothing. Two more quick lessons. First of all, it will be at some point we will naturally or by pressure be tempted to go back to trust ourselves and to try to earn God's approval or people's approval or live our own way rather than God's way. In verse 29 to 30, it says that there was persecution. The son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It's the same now. And throughout Scripture, we see, and then church history, we see people who are trying to live their own way or add to the way that Christians should live. They keep on trying to pull those who are trying to live God's way and by God's grace. They keep tempting them away or pressurizing them away. Paul says from Genesis chapter 21, get rid of that slave woman and her son. Get rid of those that are trying to pull you back into a legalistic way and live freely. And then he says, brothers and sisters, you are children of promise, verse 28. Brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. There are some people here today who need to embrace the fact that they are free and stop going back to living according to the law, the old way of doing things. Some people are in the early steps of learning what it's like to be free with Jesus. And you're not quite sure, so sometimes you just step back in to doing things your way. You need to recognize that God's good news means that God, Jesus has done everything that is needed, and his grace is enough for you. Some people, like the middle two, I believe God is going to call you to break other people free from the systems and structures that have been created in our society. And you'll be used by God to free people. I wonder if that makes your heart jump a little bit. There are some people who God is going to call during this election time to pray for God's freedom and the move of God's freedom across our nation. People stepping up and stepping onto their knees to pray and to declare God's freedom over our nations. If you can see the little kind of strap line of the Shawshank Redemption, it says, fear can hold you prisoner. Hope can set you free. There are some people this morning who are holding on to this, and they want to step over to fully trusting God. Well, they're actually stepping over there, but you're letting go, and the fear is holding on to you. And you're kind of, no, hope in God. Put your trust in his word and in his promises and in his power, and you will be free. You are born free. You need to remember who you are. And it might be this morning that you are not yet a follower of Jesus. And you are stuck in a cycle of striving to get rid of things that you feel ashamed about, or things that you just have a bit of, you've done stuff and you just don't know what to do with it. The wonderful thing about God's good news is he says, whoever you are, come to me. And I promise my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you have or haven't done, my grace is sufficient to give you a fresh start. And maybe this morning you need to pray, Jesus, I want that fresh start with you. I'm letting go of my own efforts and fully trusting you. Can we pray as the band come up and lead us in a few songs? If you have a child or a young person that you need to go and pick up during these songs, do go and pick them up. But can I encourage you to respond to what God has been saying to you throughout the whole service as we learn to trust in him? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for passages that are weird and hard, but by your Spirit you give us a little bit of insight. Jesus, we pray that you will bring freedom to those who are stuck in captivity this morning. For those who are just relying on themselves and are on that yellow ladder, give them boldness to step across and to trust in you, your promises, your presence, and your power. Help us over these coming weeks to learn what it is to be free people. And for those that you are calling, Lord, into a ministry of freedom bringers, or releases. Help them to know that you are speaking to them and calling them to that. And for them to respond this morning to what you are saying to them. And God, we pray for a move of your Spirit across this nation. May your church rise up onto their knees and declare your freedom and love over this whole country. For your glory, amen.